Sand, where are y'all? I swear they love playing hide and seek with me. Hey, have you ever lost a loved one? I know I have. R.I.P. Queen Elizabeth. You know who else faced loss? Simba. Y'all remember Lion King? Simba's dad, Mufasa, died. And he was scared and lost. And then he learned about the circle of life. How many of y'all know sometimes you need a circle of life? I feel like I need to remind somebody that Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that's your Timon and Pumbaa. Now you can dance and sing in confidence. Hakuna Matata. That's a wonderful phrase. And Satan might have tried to trample you. But can I tell you what? That was the first act. There's still a whole lot of movie left. And God the Father is saying, hey, come here. Let me pick you up. Let me smear oil on your forehead. Let me lift you up and show you off to my kingdom. I need about 82 Simbas who are ready to remember who you are and get right with the one true Lion King to roar to the altar right now.
Just because I don't believe or agree doesn't mean I can't learn from you.
Why did you have to bring that up?
Okay, that one I'm super embarrassed about.
Do you like me?
Do I like you?
Yeah.
As an individual or as a podcast?
Yeah, as a person.
Well, I like you.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool.
And I don't have any interest in appearing to be stronger than I am.
I ain't bowed to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. He gonna lead. You feel me?
How do we love people who see the world differently than we do?
What would it look like if we truly loved all of our neighbors? Could listening to their stories be the first step? This is Seacoast Church, and there's way more to talk about.
You know what?
So excited about this episode.
Lynn, guess what?
What?
I just want to appreciate you and all of the people who did not omit me today. Do you know that one of us decided to not go to lunch with me in the middle of Black History Month? I'm not going to say who it is. I'm just going to say I got my hopes all up and they were like, forget you, T. I'm going to lunch with someone else. So I brought you something. Matter of fact, I brought something for everyone.
Do you have peachy wings under the table?
No, I don't have peachy wings. But it is a token of my love and appreciation for you knowing me in public, unlike the last person we hosted with. And for you never ditching me. I mean, we could never go to lunch
because
of rules.
Right, because
but
of
But if we
Graham.
Could, you would
right.
go.
I would.
I know.
I would not miss.
I appreciate that. So I
just
want to
miss
give
it.
You a little token. Look at God.
Oh, look at that. Nothing but cake.
Right?
This just made my day.
You wow. know?
Thank
it's
you.
It's amazing what happens.
Happy Black History Month.
Happy Black History Month to you, Liz.
You wow. know,
but hold on, it gets better. Because I was sitting there talking to Jesus and all of the time because I had to go on a date with Jesus by myself.
He's really
and
angry
you,
about
and
this.
You know what he said? He was like, the grace you show, T. So, Roy, in spite of you ditching me, happy Black
yes.
History Month.
Thank
Look
you. Thank you, T. I appreciate it.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
You know, I am half black.
No, you're not.
Look,
we're not even going. Look,
in Cherokee too.
I'm as dark as you are, dude.
If you looking through sunglasses.
No, I joke. That's as bad of a race joke as I get. When people ask me, they're like, "Where are you from? Like, what do you have in you?" And I start my first thought is I want to tell them I'm half black.
It's oh. in your head. You want to tell them, but yeah. you don't actually say.
I don't
it out
say
loud.
That. What I do say though, I tell them I'm Samoan. And most of them believe me.
None of them seen Moana, huh?
They haven't.
They have
None
not.
None of them have seen it. On that subject, T, have you ever gone to Africa? The continent, which is really hard to say Africa because it's not a country, it's a continent. But have you ever been on the continent?
No.
You haven't? Do you want to go?
I mean, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Joey wanted. You know, Joey's not here. But he wanted us to talk about black stuff, even when he's not here.
Oh, my Lord.
So I even printed out a sheet, like Joey would print out,
okay,
for talking points. But one conversation he and I had was about, now I've gone to Togo, West Africa, 4 times, and how I felt going to Togo and being there and like what it felt like. And even though I'd never gone there before, I don't know where my family is from. Anywhere mm-hmm. on that continent they could have come from, but how different it felt to me being there and even the coming back. And there was just something that just felt right. I can't even describe it yeah. just about being there. And just he wanted us to like unpack that. And even like, have you ever just desired to go? And then you and I had a really cool conversation because you've gone to South Africa several times
yep.
and your son went with you. Was it last summer?
Yeah, but all 3 of my sons. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's no black people in South Africa. That's white people, right? I'm not even being jokey. I'm being for real.
No, no, it's not true. No, 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 it's not true. It's an interesting note.
That was the whole conversation we were having.
It's fascinating. Actually, one of the things I love going about South Africa, because Black history here in America is only something for me that I've read and heard about, studied and whatever. Civil rights. I'm only 46 years old. I was born in 77. So I didn't live through civil rights. I didn't live through segregation. So everything I know about Black history here in the U.S. is something that I've read about. When we go to South Africa, give or take, is about 20 years behind where we are. So apartheid in South Africa, when you think about like Mandela and stuff, that's just in the 90s. And so the effects of apartheid are very much still a part of culture. So when we go, as a white person, I see the effects of segregation a lot more than I see and feel here. Mm. Obviously, you would say differently, having experienced as a Black person, but there, it's about 20 years behind. And so I'm fascinated, honestly, with the history and the as U.S. history, I'm fascinated with South African history just to see, because you can very much almost still see, like you feel it and see it a lot more than I do here.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, they are very much still very much recovering from and the effects of, I mean, like, you know, we're having conversations here, you know, obviously, you know, different times about reparations and stuff. That's happening in South Africa, very much so. And in fact, they're beginning to drive out. Honestly, a lot of whites in South Africa don't feel safe anymore because they're being driven out, because they're the lands that basically in South Africa, if you can prove a stake to a piece of property, they have the ability, it's called land rights. They have the ability to take that land back. So thriving white farmers are being, their land is being taken from them and handed to indigenous Black people. And honestly, and again, in South Africa, that's all, again, I could talk about this forever, but the interesting thing about South Africa is in some ways is completely different, because the Black population in South Africa was always the majority. They were never the minority population. Whereas here, right, the power was a majority to minority thing in South Africa, among other things.
Right.
In South Africa, they were always the majority. But it was because of education, the whites, it's particularly the Dutch, you talk about who came in, were able to completely overpower and overthrow the majority population simply because of education and stuff. So it's a fascinating history. And now the reason they're able to do a lot of things they're doing is because they are the majority by far. And so when the ANC won for the first time under Mandela, they haven't been voted out since. Mm-hmm. They can't be voted out. I mean, the majority population is always going to vote the ANC in. Fascinating. Anyway, I could talk about it forever.
That's really interesting.
I've been 7 times, planning on going back this summer. So yeah. 8 times.
Wow.
I don't know, Roy. I have a hard time believing that South Africa got that many brown people in it.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I think it's because you only ever meet South Africans who are traveling that are white.
Right.
And I think that's another point too. I've been following YWAM, and like they have a mission to send out more Black missionaries from America, because the missionaries over time who have gone out into the nations from America have been white. But when you go, and even when I went to Togo, I was the only Black person on my team, you know, and typically going, you know, you go over there and like there aren't any other people. So I think the representation that you see in our culture from South Africa is that not what it actually is.
And I watch Shark Week. And you know what? When sharks attack, you know who they don't never attack? People that look like us. But I know that South Africa has a ton of great whites right there.
Yes.
And it ain't me getting bit.
Yeah,
it's people that look like you.
But again, just like here, again, number one, we have South Africa is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's like talking about the difference between the East Coast and the West Coast of North America.
Right.
So what you're talking about is the southern part of the country. That's where obviously on the coast. And by and large, yes, probably more concentrated white populations down that way. Eastern European populations.
Yeah.
But yeah, the northern part, the rural part of South Africa, oh yeah, completely indigenous, especially where we go and where we do our ministry, very much segregated, still pockets that are nothing but, yeah, nothing but indigenous black people.
So when you go there, how do they treat you?
Yeah, yeah. As the white American.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of that. And I would say, all of these is complicated, right? It's not as simple as white and black. But obviously, poverty comes into it a lot. And so the areas where we're at, they're very poor. Number one, we're immediately looked at as the rich people. And so we have to train our teams very, you know, it's very easy, even black people from America,
yeah,
to go to where we're going and to act like the, you know, the rich Americans, whatever, to immediately feel and want to hand everybody money, and so we just have to train our teams. We can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We can't, it's not our job to rescue everybody out of poverty. There's not enough. We don't have enough to do that. So boundaries. We've had teams, I mean, you know, we've had people approached, you know, on our teams for things, and hopefully we've trained them well and how to navigate that. But yeah, we're seen as the rich Americans.
Yeah. And that was my feeling going to Togo. And that was the interesting thing about being there and it feeling special to me, but I'm not one of them. So even when you get to Africa, they know you're American, and that's a different thing. So in America, it's like black, white, and there it's like you're American.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not a race thing. So,
but that's interesting. You said you haven't had a desire even still to look up your heritage there. Have you had any desire?
No.
Okay. I've got some good friends who have, and they're mm-hmm. very proud of it, and it's awesome. I mean, yeah. It's not like it hasn't turned into an unhealthy, like we hate America. But they have discovered their African roots and they're very proud of it.
How far were they able to get? Do they just know the region they came from, or were they to drill down? Because that's part of my thing is I don't want to send my DNA anywhere. I mean, that's weird.
They ain't cloning me.
I don't want to send, you know, like I'm like, how am I going to find out where I'm from unless I'm sending a stranger my DNA? I'm not doing that.
I think they just know the region. I think they just know the region. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
What about you, T? Have you had a desire to go?
To Africa?
Yeah.
I mean, I would go. Again, everything I know about Africa, I've seen on TV. I mean, I don't do lions.
Okay.
I don't do sharks. I don't do deserts. You know what I mean?
That's,
oh, my Lord.
We can't base. Hey.
Can we talk about stereotypes?
About TV? I know. I've never seen a lion in Togo.
Unless
some people, and it depends on where you're going. But it also depends on if you're going on a safari.
Right. Like outside of going to like Israel.
Is that the only time you've ever been out of the country? Israel?
Went to Honduras.
Oh, you went to Honduras. That's
no,
right.
No, no, no.
That's
I'm right. just saying like.
Are there not wild animals in Honduras?
Well, not really. Not where we were.
Same.
We went to the jungle
same in Togo.
And zip line.
You went to the jungle.
It's more or less snakes that we had to worry about in the jungle.
Same thing in South Africa. Yeah.
Not lions.
I hate snakes. Hate them with a passion.
Yeah.
And yes, there are like real snakes in South Africa. Like the real ones.
Yeah. Like pythons.
Like spitting cobras and puff adders and those kind of things.
Yeah. See?
And so.
See, those snakes kill you on contact. The snakes that I had to deal with, like they got to legit grab you and suffocate. Like you got to be kind of dumb to get killed by one of them. That ain't me. I'm just saying, like, I'm going to be like, help, there's a snake.
So you're saying we won't find you with a snake wrapped around your neck?
Nah, no. Like, there's probably a lot of ways that I could potentially die. Being suffocated by a snake is not one of them. That, fighting a bear, none of that, no, silly ways. But that's a conversation for another time.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
So Joey's not here. That means our first-time listeners don't know who he is. They don't know that this is the deal that he runs. And I thought it would be fun to talk about some things that were like the top five Joey things. Like, what would someone need to know about Joey if they didn't know him? Things that he says, things that he does.
So like a top five things you won't hear on today's episode.
Yes.
Because Joey's not here.
Yes. But that you'll hear on every other episode if you continue to listen or watch.
Yeah.
I teased Joey last time about this. You won't hear any nervous humor.
Yeah.
You might hear some bad humor, but it's not nervous humor. We're completely comfortable with each other and the topics we're talking about today.
Nervous humor.
Hopefully not anybody's going to be offended today. Can't guarantee that with Joey. I don't. Oh, no.
You folks aren't going to be offended.
Yeah. You people. You won't hear you people. How do you people feel about this? Yeah, you're not going to hear that because Joey's not here. And his you people are out of love, people.
It is. It is. We love them.
Yeah.
What else? We would say we're not going to talk about race without Joe, but he left us.
We did the
he left
thing.
Us an instruction.
Yes, he did give us, and we followed his instructions.
Well, somebody.
Oh, that's what I meant to tell you. I was in Publix over the weekend, and I went to Costco. So in Mount Pleasant, I went to North Mount Pleasant, stopped at the Publix afterwards, ran into another one of our hosts, and he said hello to me.
Hmm.
So either it was because it was just you, or he was like, I need to make sure I'm paying attention when I'm walking through Publix.
I'm missing something completely here.
So the last time we hosted a session, the other person that hosted with me, Lynn, and Joey totally ignored me. Like, I was like, hey, person, as he's walking out of Publix. And he just... So then I go full government name, and all of a sudden he's looking around like this, but still...
It was also in the month of February.
Yes. So then he does the podcast with us.
Last week? Was that last week?
It was Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we just
so
come
in here.
So
2 weeks in a row, T has been slighted, but he still brought us treats.
You know, I'm starting to wonder, like, I am the common denominator in all of these stories. However, there is another common denominator in all of these stories, too. So I'm trying to figure out where this thing needs to land.
Oh, we love you, T. We love you.
So our listeners are going to get to hear Joey in just a minute because he interviewed. Our guest today is a comedian. I don't think we've ever had a comedian on the podcast.
Not a professional. Right. not a real one.
And I think his name's Shama For Reals. And I don't know if you guys have seen him on social media. I've seen some of the bits that he and John Christ have done, making fun of Christians, going to churches. Have you guys seen those?
Couple.
I have.
What did you think of them?
I think it's funny, personally. And I know we're supposed to be talking about, do you take it too far and how serious you're supposed to take yourself? That kind of stuff right there, I'm good with. I'll laugh, joke, ha 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 he with everybody. It's the laying down and not standing up for what we should stand up that gets me.
It's funny, for sure. It is funny. It's hard not to laugh at most of it. The only thing I'll say is... You know, and I, their stuff in particular, or anybody in that realm, you know, it's easy to be a hater, especially some of the places they go. It's easy to make fun of people. The church is an easy target.
Mm.
So what I would simply say to somebody who makes their living making fun of the church in some ways is, well, then show me what you're for. And that's the only thing I would, you know, I don't know these guys personally. You know, again, I've watched some of their stuff. I don't know what they're for. In other words, where do you worship? If every other church is, you know, doesn't make the cut for you, if everything, you know, whatever, then let me see what does faith look like for you?
Yeah.
So it's easy to go through life, you know, talking about what you're not for, but at some point, show me what you're for. Show me what is real to you. And that's the only thing that I miss in these guys.
So in general, do you feel like Christians should make fun of ourselves? Like we should, is there a place for that? Or is there not because it's not highlighting what's...
If it ain't killing the kingdom, I don't see...
Yeah. I love to laugh. And I love to laugh at ourselves. Yeah, I'm not saying we can't make fun of ourselves. But yeah, it's just at some point, I don't know. In other words, what's real?
Yeah.
What does authentic look like to you?
Yeah.
Because if everything's inauthentic, I don't know. It's just... You know what I'm saying? Good. I don't know.
All right. So one of our co-hosts, and this was in an episode last year. I don't know which one it is. Listeners, we'll just have to find it. We were talking about comedy. We weren't talking about Christian comedians, but we were talking about comedy. And he made the statement that he feels like some comedians are a prophetic voice for their time because they're speaking about something that's wrong in culture, even though it's funny. Do you see that in this?
100%.
Yeah. Absolutely, I can see that.
I mean, some of the stuff that they say about the church is funny.
Yeah.
Like, people showing up late, people sneaking out the back right after response time. Like, it's funny when you get up there and the guy goes, as a pastor, you got to make sure you do attendance right when the sermon starts because you know it's going to drop by 20% as soon as response time comes. Like, I'm going to laugh at that because it's funny. It's also the truth.
It's true.
Like, people be getting up, running out. Like, oh, God. Response time? When I got... Oh, wait, you want me to go up to and tell somebody that I got a problem and have them pray for me? Uh-uh. Like, they are gone. That's comical. But that's also the truth.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to hear what Joey and Shama for Reals have to say.
Yeah. Can't wait. Here we go.
Welcome to Seacoast Podcast, and we've already been talking a little bit, and I just asked Shama what he knows about Seacoast, and his answer was pretty much what everybody says, Brandon Lake.
Brandon Lake, be a lake, baby.
And
tear off the roof!
And this church has been around since 88. I would say it's one of the biggest, most influential, least known churches in America. I'm serious.
My wife's family, when they first moved to Charleston, they attended Seacoast.
Oh, attended? What was wrong with it? What was wrong with the church, man?
I'm not sure. They went to Seacoast for a little bit, but similar to a lot of people, they went to Seacoast on the way to the beach.
Yeah.
It was Seacoast, lunch, and then beach on Sundays.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. My wife's family. The Todds are a great family.
Yeah.
Seacoast wasn't a pit stop to the beach.
Right.
They did enjoy the church.
Right. Hey, listen to this. So Tim Keller, rest in peace.
Yep.
So I was leading a church that was meeting at a movie theater, and we were literally on the way to the beach. And so it was probably about a year after the fact, Pastor Greg said, Joey, you know that Tim Keller has attended the James Island campus. I was like, oh my gosh, are you serious? And then I started to think back. And I remember this short little bald guy coming in, very unassuming, very quiet. And I'm pretty sure he had a gigantic guy with him. So I'm assuming maybe bodyguard or I don't know.
Tim Keller had security?
I mean, either that or like a gigantic big brother. Which I guess is not out of the question, you know?
I like that. I like that. Preach the gospel. So, if necessary, use words. Always have a big guy right behind you. That's the Tim Keller quote, right?
Hey, so did you grow up in Greenville?
I grew up in a little town called Effingham, South Carolina, right outside of Florence. People always think I'm being crude when I say that, but it's a real place.
Yeah, y'all had to have fun growing up with that. I live in Effingham.
Yeah. Effingham, South Carolina. I love telling evangelicals that. They catches them off guard. Let them know I'm a little edgy.
Yeah.
But, okay, my upbringing is a little weird. Born in Tanzania, East Africa, moved to Pelham, Alabama.
Pelham.
Roll Tide. Yeah, Pelham, Alabama.
Wait, did you just say Roll Tide on a podcast based out of South Carolina, dude? Has anybody taught you anything?
It is what it is. Rest in peace, Nick Saban. And then we moved to Effingham, South Carolina. And then after that, we moved back to our home country, Tanzania, East Africa, to do mission work with my family, and then finished graduated homeschool, high school while I was there. And then I moved to Greenville, and Greenville, South Carolina has been home.
Nice.
For the past going on 14 years now.
Nice.
Until Seacoast hires me.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Charleston.
What, hey, let's start the process right now. What do you want to do here? You tell me.
I want to be the creative deluxe pastor of integrating and yada yada, you know. Whatever job I can show up at 11 a.m. and be gone at 12:30 every Sunday.
Oh my gosh. So were you in the evangelical world as a kid?
Yes, my parents. We were Pentecostal. We were Pentecostal. We grew up in the International Pentecostal Holiness Church, headquartered in Bethany, Oklahoma.
Gotcha.
And so that was big part of our upbringing. And also, yeah, that's where I pull all majority of my jokes from.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we were Bible Belt Pentecostal, only black family in a sea of Caucasians in churches in Florence, South Carolina.
Yeah. So in this conversation, I want to get to a lot of deeper comedy questions, especially in regard to making fun of church culture, which I think is needed. I think you do a great job at it. I am not a big social media person, but I caught up on some of your videos and I just put a smile on my face and I actually had some LOLing going on, man. I love it. So I want to get into some of those questions, but did you grow up the funny kid? Like, were you the class clown?
Was I fun? I was a middle child. My wife has this theory. She's like, we have three kids now, Ezra, Zoe, Lucy. And nice. My wife is like, we need one more so each kid will have a friend. Because she was one of four and I'm one of three. And so my brother, older brother, and younger sister, really good friends.
Right.
So I just had jokes, man. I had my imagination. I had, you know, just creating. That's all I really had. And
yeah.
So that was kind of the genesis of it. And then I remember my dad got a VHS tape of, it was called a Merry Heart Doeth Good Like a Medicine, Doeth Good Like Medicine part, it was like volume 8 yeah. by Jesse Duplantis. Yeah. That's a deep cut. That's a deep, deep cut.
Yeah.
A Merry Heart Doeth Good Like Medicine part 8 VHS. And I remember watching that. He would just tell all these like funny stories in the middle of his sermons. And I guess they just kind of compiled them all to get like a majority of his funnies. And I remember my dad sitting on the couch. We'd watch them together, and he would just be crying, laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And we went and saw Jesse Duplantis live, you know, as you do if you're evangelical and growing up in the 90s. And I mean, same thing, just thinking, wow, this guy is hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I come to find out he's not even a comedian. He's a pastor.
Yeah.
Then I found out real comedians, and I went, these guys are even funnier than Jesse Duplantis.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And I'm actually going to go on the record and tell people who you are on the social networking, and you tell me how it sounds. So you focus on comedy shorts. You have a small crew of friends that complement your efforts, and a lot of them. But these are snippets, and I did notice that you're not a whole lot, but you're going out of some of the Christian stuff and just regular comedy. But
yeah.
For the most part, your shorts are satire of a lot of Christian stuff that what I think is hilarious is normal-ish until you see someone make fun of it and you're like, wait a second, I've just been in the water for so long.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to get people, okay, come up for air.
Yeah, yeah. And is there, because I don't think that there would be anything wrong with Shama saying, hey, I am first and foremost, and I am saying that right, Shama?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You know, I want to first.
Are you, Joey?
Joey.
Is that
yep.
my?
Joey. Yep. Joey? Were you being serious?
No.
I was like, man, he's been in America for a while, but
Joe. I thought he said he's from Effingham, South Carolina. He knows how to say Joe.
As a brother in Christ believer, like we both know what our general calling is. Like it's the same regardless of what our giftings are. We want to spread hope to the hopeless. And I think it would be totally fine with you saying, yeah, this Instagram deal, it is purely entertainment. It's fun. I like to laugh. I like to make people laugh. And that's my purpose for this. It's entertainment. I think that would be totally fine. But I did want to ask you, for you, is there a deeper level of what you're doing? And you just mentioned like coming out of water a little bit and seeing, you know, sometimes how silly we can be. Is there a what you would call a positive agenda behind the scenes?
So I think I fell into the positive agenda accidentally. I started making videos with my friends, Petey, Robert, Chase, Zach, Brian, here in Greenville. And we were just like, let's just make stuff. I've got money, I'll fund it, let's do it. What do we need to rent? Let's do it. And prior to that, moved to Greenville to attend Bible college. I graduated from Bible college. As one does, you become a youth pastor. And I quickly realized that student pastoring was not for me. And the senior pastor realized that too. And he let me go, released me. I was released into unemployment, you know? And so then I started making stuff. And Well, I was a student pastor. I remember, like, I'd record my sermons and put them up on, you know, YouTube or SoundCloud, thinking, like, I'm the next pastor voice of my generation. People need to hear my sermons. And of course, nobody, you know, nobody listened. and then when we started making stuff, we made a song called VeggieTales Remix. We made a song called Chick-fil-A, made a sketch called Church Aerobics and all these things.
Oh, so those are some of your early ones? Because I definitely recognize those. Yeah. Yep.
I remember getting emails of people being like, oh, we show this video at our kids' church. We play this song at youth camp. Play the song at a youth conference. Hey, I just heard your song on Winter Jam during the pre-jam.
And you're like, where's my money? So, where's my money, dog? I'm thinking,
guys, come on now. Run me those checks. Because right. I am renting.
Are you really just telling me this and not sending anything?
Yeah, yeah. Judah Smith's church, the kids ministry, is playing my videos and they ain't cutting me a check.
Right.
That's true.
Can you please give me a millionth of the tithe? A billion?
I tell my wife, I'm like, I need to get Judah Smith on the phone, please.
Are you being serious? That's one of the churches that said that.
Well, that is one of the churches that I remember hearing. And I remember listening to Judah Smith's sermons. And so all of a sudden I'm thinking, wow, a church I've never been to, a pastor who I've known for years, his student ministry, his kids' church, is playing songs that I wrote like in my bedroom and recorded with my friends. And so that's where, you know, it kind of dawned on me that, oh, wow, I went to Bible college, got a job at a church, you know, volunteered at a church, and then ended up becoming the student pastor of the church. Got fired. Felt like I kind of defected out of ministry. Went through this really kind of rough period where I felt like every time people saw me, they thought, oh, that's the guy who couldn't cut it at a local church. Mm-hmm. Now he's delivering pizza because that's all I was doing. And then started making stuff. And then all of a sudden, the things that I was making were viewed by people I would have never expected. They're getting more, the time that I thought, oh, I'm influential by posting my sermons on SoundCloud, that time, or everything. No, now I'm actually, the stuff that I'm making is kind of influential.
Yeah.
And I just set out to just make stuff, not with like a spiritual, like this angle of we're going to, you know, let's dive into this. And so that was a really, really, and I still feel that way. Mm-hmm. The conversations that happened from, hey, I watched this video of Loose Cannon guest speaker that you did, and you said this thing, and I was at a youth camp where a guy said this thing, and I'm glad I wasn't alone in hearing, you know, preachers at youth camps talk crazy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh yeah, we are kind of sharing, like we have this experience. We've all had separate, similar experiences. And, you know, me kind of highlighting it is people are kind of going like, oh, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that too. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it was normal.
Yeah. And you know what? Looking at team humanity, for instance, and just a love for our fellow man, there's a sweetness to it. For me personally, laughing at this kind of stuff, there's a sweetness to it because there is a huge tribe of people. I mean, millions who are the product of evangelicalism, for better or for worse. You know, there's a lot of good things and there's a lot of bad things, but we all know what Shama is making fun of because we all came from the same place, and there's kind of like a sweetness to it for sure. Do you vibe with preachers and sneakers? So for listeners who are not aware, I think his name is Tyler. He actually went on Instagram anonymously and he started posting pictures of people in the evangelical church world, including our very own Brandon Lake, and basically showing articles of clothing and or shoes and just basically giving the price tag. So he's basically just saying, look, this preacher at this conference is wearing $2,000 pairs of shoes. And for him, he, I've talked to him before, and there is definitely what I would call a very healthy cynicism. Did you vibe with what he was doing and his approach?
Oh, yeah.
Was it influential at all?
I thought in a way that I was an outsider at the time. You know, we're just kind of making stuff. I remember that the Preachers and Sneakers came out. And then my friend Petey and I, we got invited to co-host the 52nd annual Dove Award pre-show on TBN. And so then all of a sudden, me and my buddy Petey are meeting all these people who we've made fun of. And then we get seats. We get great seats to the Dove Awards and we're watching.
Yeah.
all these people who we've made fun of. And then I found out how much a lot of those people are making and how big the tours are and how the business side of it works. And I thought, okay, well, I'm not rocking $2,000 sneakers, but they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still don't have a good answer as to what all that is. I mean, I will say I'm from Tanzania, East Africa. My mom, before we moved to the States, her first job, she made $10 a month. Dang. And she worked for the government.
This is your mom, and you're what? In your 30s, late 20s?
I'm 31. My mom in 1994, before we moved to the States, my mom was making $10 a month.
A month.
Working for the government of Tanzania. Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, now I think the minimum wage in Tanzania is still $150 a month.
Yeah.
So my perception of like money and all of that, I'm blessed. I love to do what I'm doing. I've made a couple of coins. I'm not going to be featured on Preachers and Sneakers anytime soon. Or there's another one called Profits and Watches, which will make you even more mad. I think Tyler opened up a can of worms.
Uh-huh.
Not can of worms. I mean, he opened up Pandora's box.
Well, do you remember Garbage Pail Kids? You may not, because you're a good bit younger than me, but Garbage Pail Kids.
I did not know.
All right, so Cabbage Patch Kids. Have you heard of those? You may have missed those too. All right, so
I remember those.
Yeah, one of the biggest toys in the 80s, I want to say 84. I mean, they were it was insanely popular. So a card company came up with Garbage Pail Kids. And basically they were collector's cards, but they were the Cabbage Patch Kid, but made in some sort of a form. So you have Adam Bomb. So his first name, Adam, last name, Bomb. And it's a kid kind of with the top of his head exploding, and cute little baby. So very radical stuff in the 80s. But dude, I'm telling you, I'll never forget as a kid being at a big Cub Scout gathering. I think we called them pack meets. And somebody walks in and they're like, they have the new series Garbage Pail Kids at the gas station, right? And parents are leaving to go get them because they just went like that. Oh, they were huge. So anyway, I bring that up because there was one of the trading cards, and her name was Amazing Grace. And it was basically an obese child. And, a Cabbage Patch Kid and Amazing Grace. Now, nowadays, I would assume get in trouble for, people would say that's making fun of overweight people.
Yeah.
But my parents, they were like, we're not having it. Like, you're not going to make fun of what has saved us. This is Amazing Grace. That's a special song. And my parents would not let us keep that collector's card. How do you navigate making light of certain things where there is a very a reverence side to it? I'll give you an example of one of the funniest things I think I saw on your Instagram, and it was just a quick little snapshot where you said something about the production team trying to get a shot of someone worshiping, and that person's like on the floor, like trying to get in all sorts of weird positions. Well, it was you, right?
I think that was somebody else, but I've done some angles of the same thing where like
right up your alley. So we're making fun of something that involves someone sincerely worshiping. So there's some people and they have a hard time making a distinction in that overlapping of, hey, something spiritual and important and something we honor God with, then making light and fun. You got to get it all the time. How do you process that as a Christian who also likes comedy? And have you gotten that question before?
I have. I think it's probably not evident on my online persona.
And real quick, once you get through this question, you and I are going to make fun of some Christian culture. So go ahead, get through this, and then we'll have some fun. Go ahead.
So discredit everything I'm about to say. But, growing up in the church, growing up in a pastor's house, my dad would make us read two chapters of the Bible every day. Did you read two chapters of the Bible? Like, yeah. And I remember just thinking about this the other day, that when I was like 14 or 15, I grabbed a Bible in a year off of my dad's office shelf, and in secret, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my brother, who was my roommate, my sister, but I didn't tell. I read through the Bible in a year. I just did the whole thing. And I remember December 31st, before we went to church, we were going to do like a New Year's Eve service. I remember I finished reading in the bathroom. I remember reading because I was hiding. I didn't want anybody to know that I was reading the Bible in a year. And then when I finished, I like closed it. And I had this feeling of like, hey, I did it.
Yeah.
So there's this arrogance of my dad being like, oh, did you read the Bible? And I'm like, yeah, I read the whole thing.
Yeah, I read it.
You know, I'm done. I'm better than everybody. You know, I'm like, I did it. And so there and then kind of realizing, oh, that wasn't it. And then going to Bible college and then graduating from Bible college, wrecking several times and then rebuilding my faith, being involved in a church, finding a pastor. My church has co-pastors, Mike and Michael, both white, by the way, who I know and appreciate. And I'm at the church right now. They gave me this space to kind of work out of. And yeah, I ended up falling in love with the church again. So, and falling in love with the things of God. And it came out of my whole upbringing was out of, I was being forced to do that. I didn't wear jeans or shorts to church. You know, we sat on the front row. I was a missionary kid. So we'd go up on stage and we'd sing a song and my dad would present the gospel. And then we moved to Africa and I played guitar or drums for my dad's church. And we would, you know, sit on the front row and do this thing. And then after all of that going, you know, kind of discovering, okay, I need to figure out who this God is and what salvation is and what my purpose is in serving him for myself, because I'm not, you know, with my parents anymore. And so that's where the comedy does come from. The comedy comes from, hey, I grew up in this and I grew up in a strict household and I still love the church. I still have to go to church on a Sunday. And I know my pastor and so many other people watch my Instagram or watch the videos that I make. So yeah, man, it just kind of comes from a place where I mean, my kids are going to see it. My mom is on Instagram. You know right. what I mean? My father and mother-in-law, Mark and Maggie, are on Instagram. So it does come from a place where like, I want to make some fun of something. Okay, we try to figure out, okay, what is the spectrum? What would a lazy Christian influencer say? And then what would a really sharp somebody else say?
Sharpest ever. Come on, I'll say it for
sharpest,
you.
The sharpest ever, right? We had Cat Williams. What would he, you know what I mean? And then where is it palpable?
Yeah.
Where can people kind of receive that?
Yeah.
And then we find that line and then we try to push it just a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then that's it. That's how we kind of get there. But it does come from a place where men like, I haven't deconstructed. I'm not at this place of like, I hate, you know, I'm like, no. But
yeah,
I remember, I remember kind of collecting and thinking about all these things ever since I was a kid. I remember the student pastor at my first church in Florence. I never was in a student ministry, but he taught me guitar on Tuesdays. And I remember him telling me that he was praying for a student. He was praying for a student on like a Wednesday night. And the student was a new believer. And so he was praying for him and the student like took a couple steps back and went, oh, sorry, I messed up. And Pastor Brock was like, oh, what were you trying to do? And he goes, oh, I was trying to fall. I was trying to do that thing. I was trying to fall backwards, like other students do. And I remember Pastor Brock telling me that and thinking, that is the funniest, I was like 10 and thought, man, this dude who saw other people falling out, slaying in the spirit. Yeah. And he was like, oh, I messed up. I remember thinking, that's hilarious, you know? And so have people fallen for real? I haven't. But I'm like, yeah, but the fact that a guy didn't get it is hilarious.
Right.
And that's the pocket. Like, that's the column that I'm trying to be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I'm sure other people have stories like that, too.
What the church is in itself is beautiful. It's the head of it is Jesus. I mean, it goes back. We read when the church was birthed, for crying out loud. So there's beautiful, wonderful things about the church. And over 2,000 years, there's a lot of man-made stuff that's not bad or good, but some of it is funny. So I saw where you made fun of the whole daddy God thing, which is the funniest thing when people are praying, they say daddy God. But here's another one is the father God. I'm embarrassed to admit, but there was one time where I flipped out of prayer mode and I was like, I have got to count how many times this pastor says Father God.
Father God. It's just like a prayer you know?
Right? Yes, it's a prayer That's perfect. Here's another one I like. This is the terminology that's been around for a while. Hey, man, I was reading something. You got to read it. It ruined me. And I thought, let's take that word ruin and just say, man, it demolished me. It annihilated me. That thing murdered me. Like it was the...
It wrecked me. It nuked me. I'm not going to lie. Dude, I remember that's like peak Judah Smith where it was like, I listened to too much Judas. And he'll just be like, and I was wrecked and I'm thinking, and he holds the mic way low and is like, and I'm thinking, God, why me? Why now? Cause I love you. You know?
Yes.
And he was a big one of those. Like, I got wrecked.
I got wrecked.
I got wrecked watching Barney with my daughter. You're like, did you? The gospel leaped out at you from watching Teletubbies? Okay.
I will say that this one, as I get older, things bother me less and less, but this one can kind of get under my skin. I don't, and this is, I guess, more of a Christianese thing. You and I both know what someone means. We've probably both said it, but I don't like the phrase God showing off because it's the creator of the universe. And when you hear the phrase, when you hear the phrase show off, you think of someone who isn't really secure. They're trying to impress other people. And I'm like, please don't call the God of the universe Jehovah. Don't call him a show off. And if you think that he's showing off by doing this something in your life that I'm not doubting he did you see the sun come up? Have you heard about how big the universe is? Like, are all of that stuff God things too? God showing off?
Showing off makes it sound like an athlete who had a great game. You're like, no, God's always been dunking. Like, he has since the beginning.
Yeah. So some deeper comedy questions before we let you go. I have had this discussion many times, and I think it's interesting. Can people in general bring laughter into any and every situation? And I think there is probably there's context for laughter maybe in every single situation. And the example that I thought of, because my go-to, it's probably your go-to also being a father, it's like, what's the worst possible thing that could happen? Okay, losing one of my children. So I'm thinking about family and friends over at the house. I mean, I'm crushed and somebody makes a joke about my daughter dying. That is not going to be funny in any way, shape, or form, and it never will be. But if one of my close buddies says something about, well, you know, we're not going to be able to go fishing next weekend because Joey's all sad or something, you know, and just a very extreme, preposterous joke that came from one of my closest friends that puts a smile on my face. When I thought of that example, I was like, maybe you can work laughter into just about anything. Yeah. Now, I wouldn't say work it into any timing either. I would say there's sometimes bad timing, but I think any situation, man, laughter's a good thing, right?
John Chris has got this observation where it's in his act currently. Paid tickets to go see him.
Yeah.
But he says there's no such thing as a bad joke, just a bad audience.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, that's true. I love laughing, man. I love jokes. I love writing. I lost my father 2018.
Dang, man. Sorry to hear that.
And it was, thank you, man. And it was devastating. My dad was the godliest man I know.
Mm-hmm.
Great husband to my mom. Great father. Preached Sunday. Passed away the next morning. And I remember that week in Tanzania when there's a death in the family. All the family members come over.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody comes over. The neighbors come over, and they sleep at your house. They just stay. That was my first time. I've never been a part of a funeral in Tanzania ever, except for my dad's. And so, all of a sudden, I was visiting in Tanzania. I was visiting my parents for like, I think, 2 weeks in January in Tanzania. And so while I was there, 7 days, and my dad passed away.
Dang.
And so then all of a sudden, my visit turned into, essentially a funeral and all of the happenings with it. And so everybody, and I remember sitting under a tree with my uncles, drinking hot chai. And they're cracking jokes. And I remember just laughing so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I'd go off to my room or something and I'd cry because I'd just be overwhelmed. But kind of realizing that, oh man, those two things are synonymous. That's mm-hmm. that's just part of life, you know? If having kids, I mean, overwhelming joy. And then like last fall, I traveled a ton, flying out of town, flying back into town, going back home and seeing leaves fall.
Yeah.
And the trees a little more bare. And then seeing my kids playing. And they'll be like, hey, we missed you, Daddy. Why were you? Where were you? We missed you. Mm-hmm. Why did it take so long? That part to me is like, oh man.
Right.
And so we have to laugh, man. Mm-hmm. I feel like as humans, I've been reading so many books about comedy. I think it's just a beautiful gift from God to observe reverent things and the silly things all together. And I mean, having kids really reminds you of that, especially, but you know,
yeah.
It's
yeah,
a lot. Sure. I think it's yeah. a lot. We don't have a bucket to put everything in. And so my default bucket is, hey man, I'll put that in the joke bucket.
Yeah.
For now or for later.
Yeah. When yeah. you're about to release a comedy short, do you ever funnel it through the cancel culture processing.
Oh yeah, man.
Like, okay, I'm about to submit yeah. this because you could literally miss something.
Dude.
And next thing you know, your Instagram is cut in half because people are like, I cannot believe he said that. Which I think is a problem in itself because there's a heart behind everything that we say. Yeah. And sometimes you can say something and not mean how people are taking it. But do you have a cancel culture filter in your head?
Oh man. Yeah. And I have a manager now. And so there is a part of me like, oh, you know, you can only like, I've been making fun of Toby Mac the past 24 hours. And I'm like, Toby Mac's a pretty powerful figure in the CCM world. And I'm kind of working in that space a little bit. And I'm like, I hope Toby Mac doesn't send his goons out on me. But, you know, I wonder if Toby Mac's got to walk around like the Tim Keller style with a big dude right behind
right.
him. But yeah, man. I would say when I wake up, I try to delay checking social media. But when I do, I am kind of like... Okay. All is
right.
All is well. I yep. didn't end up on, you know, whatever Shade Room or TMZ or right. something because of something I said.
Yeah, for sure. But, for sure.
Yeah.
And here's another element. Yeah. Here's another element of it though. I bet you there's about 75%, just throwing out a number, of people who watch your stuff. And outside of it being obvious that you're actually being purposely offensive, I think you're bulk following or be like, he didn't mean anything by it, or yeah. one in ear and out the other, just because they know enough about your right. intent. So, you know,
I try to, anything that I've said that has been a little, probably a little more harsh is a, it's never said by me. It's said by a character played by me. And I right. hate that guy too. Right. People be like, what?
Yeah.
I, at one point, and I'm just used as an example. I said, which Mike Todd ended up saying later. So, you know, my character was not off.
Yeah.
I said, I guess I'm trans because I've been transformed. The character called Bruce Cannon, guest speaker, said that. And Mike Todd, a couple months ago, said trans is in our name. And I went, hey, man, I'm going to need a little royalty check from that one. I feel like you kind of took that from. But the Loose Cannon guest speaker character said that. And people were like, yeah, you know, a Loose Cannon guest speaker would say that. And then a Loose Cannon guest speaker did.
Yeah.
No, a Loose Cannon senior pastor yep. did. Right. You know?
And right. so
and we, that is kind of the thing.
Yeah, we'll play one of those right here.
I guess I'm trans because I've been transformed.
Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't poop on planes.
Can I preach?
Let me preach.
Y'all mind if I preach?
So y'all know DaBaby, but not DaBaby Jesus.
Hold on, let me mute my Android.
If you ain't got an Android, you're going to hell.
Ladies, if he ain't saved, Holy Ghosted.
I hope there's a Krispy Kreme in heaven.
You don't need a mental health day. You need a man who'll take your sins away.
I'm preaching.
Sometimes I break into yoga studios and I just cast all the demons out.
Y'all ever puke on vacation?
Holiness ain't a hobby.
This some good preaching.
Hey, y'all mind if I do some?
And that's the thing. I'm like, hey, I don't like those guys.
Right.
I've been, I was talking to a friend recently. I was at a youth camp when I was like 9. And the speaker of the week-long youth camp, he was staying in like a fifth wheel with his wife and kids. And so he was speaking that evening and he goes, hey, what's up? My name is, the first evening, he goes, hey, what's up? My name's whatever, Todd or whatever. And I'm out here in the fifth wheel. My wife and I travel around all over the place. My family preaches the gospel at camps. That's our camper right there. And if the camper goes a rocking, don't come a knocking. And I remember some adults in the back of the room were like, ha 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 ha. And I remember thinking, why would his camper be rocking? Is there something wrong with this camper?
Well, what are we missing here?
He should really get that fixed if it's going to be rocking. I mean, I would be knocking because I would think something was wrong. But then growing up, being like, oh, that's... He was being crude
right.
to a bunch of middle schoolers,
yeah.
and we all missed it. He was playing in the back of the room.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that's why Pixar was so successful, is because they made their films funny and interesting to adults. And sometimes the kids don't even know the plots and they're just loving it. We're like, oh my gosh. Man, I remember seeing Toy Story for the first time. I was like, what's going to happen, man? Can Buzz fly? Like, it... I mean, this is unbelievable. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. We're going to end it here. So we have had Brandon Lake on here and we've had Lecrae on here. Which one are you more honored to be on the same podcast with?
Okay, I got to say...
Oh, I love that you're going to answer it because answer it any way you want. Answer it any way you want. You're thinking, what's going to help me get a job at Seacoast? Well, I got to go Brandon Lake, but I got to figure out a way for it to be sincere.
I'm actually working on, I might be working with Brandon Lake sometime this year. So
nice.
But I'd say Lecrae, man. Like, I remember bootlegging his CD and making my own mix CDs with Lecrae. I met him a couple years ago at the Dove Awards. I was talking about with my friend and we were both like, yo, we used to like rip pirate your music, man. And you're like right next to it. You're 9 feet tall and we're like talking to you right now. I'd say Lecrae. Yeah. That's my answer. Sorry, yeah. Brandon.
Yeah, sorry,
I'm sure Brandon. He's going to listen to this, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're
sobbing.
Yeah. How could Shama do that? How could Shama do
that? I'm trying to be on that tear off the roof tour. I'm trying to tear off the roof of all these arenas, man.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for joining us, helping us laugh a little bit. And we will definitely have the link in the show notes so people can check it out. Are you, and forgive me if this is like, obvious and out there in the social media world. Like I said, I don't keep up with a whole lot, but are you expanding any sort of endeavors? You're doing a lot of traveling. Like, is that stand-up comedy? Like, are you, what are you doing outside of your hilarious Instagram account followed by hundreds of thousands?
First of all, let me say that you're a better man for not keeping up with it all. All right.
Yeah.
people are like, you've been posting a lot on Instagram. I am unemployed.
Yeah.
I am not booked. I am home.
Right.
So I have enough time and boredom to be silly. So what am I doing? This spring, I've got a couple dates here and there that I think are on my way. I need to update my website. And then I'm on the SLU Youth Pastor Summit Tour. That'll be 5 cities this March and April. Really excited about that. Levi Lusk goes there. I've never met him. I think he's cool. Derwin Gray.
Yeah.
And then me. So, you know, I think every circus needs a clown. So, keep that. But SLU decided to hire me. So I'm excited about that. And then I think I'm adding just kind of more sporadic dates here and there as we go. But I probably need to be better about promoting that.
Yeah. Well, dude, man, congrats on being able to do something you love and get your name out there and you're good at it, man. I consider you an artist. I appreciate everything you do. And
thank you.
Thanks for being on here, man.
And I've been to Charleston enough. I need to visit Seacoast.
Yeah,
I feel like I need to stop driving by on the way to the beach.
Yeah.
stop by on a Sunday.
At the very least, text me, man, if you are in town. That'd be cool.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thanks for having me, all Joey. Right.
Yep. We'll see you.
You've been listening to the Things You Won't Hear on Sunday Seacoast Podcast. In the show notes, you'll see a link to our Facebook group page. Also, we'd love for you to consider subscribing so you get these episodes downloaded right when they come out. If you enjoy the podcast, we'd love for you to give us some love by rating us on iTunes or Spotify. We now have video versions of these episodes on our Seacoast YouTube channel for those who enjoy listening and watching. Thanks so much for listening.